This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen Muhammad wa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathiran kathiran. From Abadu, my brothers and sisters, we continue with our topic of the three voices that speak to us and what to do about them. Last week I spoke about the first of them, which was the voice of shaitan. To complete that discussion, shaitan misguides. And when the person accepts that misguidance and gets misguided, shaitan washes his hands of the responsibility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about this and warned us against it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Hashr, كَمَثَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِذْ قَالَ لِلْإِنسَانِ كْفُرْ فَلَمَّا كَفَرَ قَالَ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّنْكَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that they are like shaitan. When he lures someone to disbelieve, then after they have done so, he will say on the Day of Judgment, I have absolutely nothing to do with you. I truly fear Allah, the Rabb of all the worlds. And that itself is a lie. Fearing, if he fears Allah, then why does he do what he does? And this is something to think about. Now, shaitan works through fear. The most common form of that fear is financial loss and poverty. Using this fear, shaitan urges us to use all kinds of haram means to earn and safeguard wealth, like dealing in interest, buying and selling haram products, stinginess, and so on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the other hand, promised us his bounty and forgiveness if we resist shaitan's deviation and stay away from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited. Allah said, الشَّيْطَانُ يَعِدُكُمُ الْفَقْرَ وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ وَاللَّهُ يَعِدُكُمْ مَغْفِرَةً مِّنْهُ وَفَضْلَهُ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Allah said, the devil, shaitan, threatens you with the prospect of poverty. He threatens you that you would become poor. And bids you, and he guides you, bids you with shameful deeds. He tells you to do shameful things. Now imagine, forgiveness of Allah, disobedience of Allah is the most shameful thing. When we think about shameful things, we think immediately about some kind of promiscuity and nakedness and so on. But tell me, what is more shameful than dealing in interest when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared war on the one who deals with interest? Any form of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is highly, highly shameful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, shaitan threatens you with the prospect of poverty and bids you to do shameful deeds, while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises you forgiveness and great bounties from him, Jalla Jalaluhu. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all bountiful and all knowing. About our provision itself or risk itself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assured us clearly many times. I've done a series of lectures and a book on the question of risk. It's called Risk Obtained or Ordained or Obtained. Risk Ordained or Obtained. Please listen to those lectures and read the book. Inshallah, any doubts you have will be clarified. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُعَدُونَ وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُعَدُونَ فَوَرَبِّ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّهُ لَحَقٌّ مِثْلَ مَا أَنَّكُمْ تَنْتِقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, In the heavens is your sustenance. In the heavens is your sustenance. And all that you are promised, and whatever you are promised, then by the Rabb of the heavens and the earth, all this, meaning that our risk sustenance is in the heavens, all this is certainly as true as the fact that you can speak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Sabah, he said, قُلْ إِنَّ رَبِّي يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ وَلَكِنَّ No. قُلْ إِنَّ رَبِّي يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَيَقْدِرُ لَهُ وَمَا أَنْفَقْتُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَهُوَ يُخْلِفُهُ وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ. Allah said, say, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, truly, surely and truly it is my Rabb who gives abundant or limited provisions to whoever he wills of his slaves. And whatever you spend in charity, he will compensate you for it, for he is the best provider. Shaitan tells us, if we give charity, we will become poor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah will compensate you for that. And what's the compensation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Minimum is 1 is to 10. So how can you become poor when you are spending in charity? You are actually investing in a, you're making an investment, the minimum return of that is 1000%. So how can you become poor? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ إِنَّ رَبِّي يَبْسُطُ رِزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Say, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, surely it is my Rabb, Jalla Jalaluhu, who gives abundant or limited provisions to whoever he wills, but most people do not know. A beautiful hadith on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he said, and such a beautiful hadith, this is in Arba'in Nawawiyah, and a very beautiful and detailed hadith. Nabi said, Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, he said, one day I was sitting behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, riding on the same mount, and he said to me, O young man, I will teach you some words of advice. And then he said, be mindful of Allah, have taqwa of Allah, and Allah will protect you. Have taqwa of Allah, and you will find Him in front of you. If you ask, then ask Allah alone. If you seek help, then seek help from Allah alone. And know that if the nations were to gather to benefit you with anything, they would not benefit you except with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already prescribed for you. And if they were to gather to harm you with anything, they would not harm you except with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already prescribed against you. The pens have been lifted and the pages have dried. It was related by At-Tirmidhi, who said it was a good and sound hadith. Another narration other than that of At-Tirmidhi in another place reads, be mindful of Allah and you will find Him in front of you. Recognize and acknowledge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in times of ease and prosperity, and He Jalla Jalaluhu will remember you in times of adversity. And know that what has passed by you, which means you failed to attain that, you could not succeed in getting it, was not going to befall you. What has passed by you was not going to befall you. And what has befallen you was not going to pass you by. And know that victory comes with patience, relief with affliction, and hardship with ease. The question to ask ourselves really truly is, if we believe Allah or Shaitan. Now, Shaitan deceives in five ways. First one, he invites towards haram. The most common form of this today is pornography. In an article published in January this year, 2023, on the basis of a, based on a survey with school children about exposure to pornography, it says, and I quote, most children are exposed to pornography by the age of 12. Of the 44% who said they intentionally watched porn, 71% reported viewing it in the last week. And nearly 6 in 10, which is 60%, said they watched porn once a week or more. In the text with this khutbah, in the article, I've given you the link to the article. The second biggest threat is drugs. Recreational use of marijuana is now legal in many states. Sad luck to all those hippies in the 60s and 70s who were handed jail sentences for exactly the same reason, recreational use of marijuana. Be that as it may, the use of any intoxicant of any kind, which includes alcohol, marijuana, and any other drug that exists or may come into existence, is haram and will always be haram in Islam. The only exception is if it is medically necessary as a life-saving drug or for pain control and is administered under strict medical supervision. Legally, however, recreational use, which is haram in Islam, is permitted. And if your child is over 18, you as a parent have no authority to prevent your child from using it. That is the reason you need to work with your children long before they are 18 to ensure that they make the right choices. Exposure to pornography will destroy their married lives, will destroy them psychologically, will ruin their hearts and minds, will completely destroy their salah and their focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And over time it can lead to kufr, because then they learn and this comes into their psyche, and shaitan tempts them to believe and start believing that all of this is okay. To consider a haram to be okay is kufr. Now, if anyone of you listening to this khutbah is thinking, well, you know, that's okay, but that can't happen to my child, I would request you to stop smoking whatever you are smoking and wake up. If you are not taking active steps to protect your children, they will be affected like anyone else. Believe me. Ask yourself how much time you give to your children and what happens during that time. One of the most effective steps is to keep them connected to the masjid and its activities. Maktab, halaqas, classes and so on. Friends and environment are a huge influence. But remember, parenting is a contact sport. You cannot outsource parenting to the masjid or the maktab or the Islamic school or whoever. All of these are aids and they are necessary and you must use them, but at the end of the day, the responsibility is yours and yours alone, mother and father. It's not for nothing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Jannah for the child is beneath the feet of the mother. It's not for nothing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the father is the door of Jannah for the child. It's not because of biology, it's because of this responsibility of raising children who are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was given to you, and if you do that, this is the great honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. But it doesn't come free. It takes effort and time and energy, and then the child becomes a means, a sadaqah jariyah for you. And vice versa is also true. You need to act now, not even today, now, because tomorrow will be too late. Number two. Shaitan makes haram look trivial. And he says, oh, don't worry, Allah will forgive. Now this is the second big tactic. Where in the name of fun and humor and social interaction, being friendly, even dawah, is to make backbiting, ghibah and namima, lying, inappropriate mixing between men and women and so on, acceptable. So also watching all kinds of haram on television and social media in the name of entertainment. Remember that it begins with the term tolerance, then it goes to expectation, and then it becomes a right, opposing which becomes criminalized. Remember that it starts with remaining silent and accepting what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited. That opens the door, the rest follows as surely as the sun rises in the east. Solution? Zero tolerance for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited. That is the only solution. Don't open that door for any reason. Otherwise, you will never shut it. Number three, shaitan invites towards wasting of time. It is a waste of time for you, but it's big money for those who create the means for you to waste your time. It's a multi-billion dollar, maybe trillion dollar industry, collectively, globally, called Hollywood, Bollywood, Tollywood, gaming, Xbox, ODI, Super Bowl, World Cup, Wimbledon, you name it. Playing a sport is good and healthy. Watching it on television like a couch potato, unless you are doing it as part of your training as a professional player, is a waste of time. What comes with it during the breaks is another story. Everything designed by highly skilled and qualified professionals to keep you glued to your screen, spending your most valuable, non-renewable asset for the benefit of somebody else. Get real, people. Don't be so stupid. Do not be so stupid. How we spend our time is one of the questions that we will have to answer on the Day of Judgment. Again, I've done a series of lectures on this and my book. Questions, but what will we answer? Questions, but what will we answer? Please read that. Number four, Shaitan advises us to do something of less value compared to something of greater value. If he can't stop you from doing something good, he advises us to do it in a way where we get less value for that. When he cannot get you to miss Salah, he will suggest you to pray at home instead of going to the masjid. If you listen to him, you would have missed the reward of going to the masjid and praying in Jama'ah, which is 27 times that of praying alone. On the Day of Judgment, today it sounds like words. On the Day of Judgment, when we stand before the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we see our scales, then you will really understand, I will really understand the meaning of 27 times. In a hadith in Muslim Sharif, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said that Rasulullah said, whoever purifies himself in his house, then walks to one of the houses of Allah, to the masjid, in order to perform one of the duties enjoined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for every two steps that the person takes, one will erase a sin and the other will raise him one degree in status before Allah. With another hadith in Abi Dawud, Buraydah al-Aslami radiallahu anhu said that Rasulullah said, give glad tidings, give good news to those who walk to the masjid, to the mosque in darkness of perfect light on the Day of Resurrection, on the Day of Judgment. By walking in darkness is meant going to the masjid for the Isha and Fajr Salawat, which are in darkness. And the ulama have said that even if you are, you don't have to actually walk in darkness. If the road is lighted, the pathway is lighted, that's okay. It will still be considered this, and Allah will give you a perfect light on the Day of Judgment. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to make that happen, inshallah. Now, another thing which Shaitan does very effectively is he makes the haram look virtuous. And this is the last of them, the most lethal of them, which is he makes something which is haram actually look like a good deed, which is bid'at. Now this is one of the most dangerous tactics of Shaitan, where he plays with the good intentions of ignorant people. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that Islam is based on knowledge. This is the fundamental fact about Islam. That is the reason it's so important to learn our religion. For any action to be acceptable in Islam, it must be done with the right intention and in the right way. Right intention is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right way is the sunnah of Rasulullah s.a.w. These two are not mutually exclusive. Both are necessary simultaneously for an action to be acceptable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. About niyyah, we have the famous hadith, the first hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, and in Arba'in Nawawi and so on the authority of Amir al-Mu'mineen Abu Hafs Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, who said, I heard Rasulullah s.a.w. saying, the rewards for actions are according to the intentions, and everyone will get what was intended. Whoever migrates with an intention for Allah and His Messenger s.a.w., his migration will be for the sake of Allah and His Messenger. And whoever migrates for worldly gain or to marry a woman, then his migration will be for the sake of whatever he migrated for. And we have the hadith, which is called the hadith of the Thalath, hadith of the three, on the authority of, and this is in Bukhari and Muslim, on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, who said, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, the first of people against whom judgment will be pronounced, against whom judgment will be pronounced on the day of resurrection, will be a man who died a martyr, a shaheed. He will be brought, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make known to him his favors, and he will recognize them. Then Allah Jalla Jalaluhu will say, and what did you do about them? The man will say, I fought for you until I died a martyr. He, Jalla Jalaluhu, will say, you lied. you fought so that it may be said of you, he is courageous, he is brave. And so it was said. Then he will be ordered to be dragged along on his face until he is cast into the hellfire. Another will be a man who studied religious knowledge, became an alim, fadil, mufti, whatever, and taught it. A man who studied religious knowledge and taught it, and who used to recite the Quran. He will be brought, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make known to him his favors, and he will recognize them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, "And what did you do about them?" The man will say, "I studied religious knowledge and I taught it and I recited the Quran for your sake." He, Jalla Jalaluhu, will say, "You lied. You studied Islamic knowledge, religious knowledge, that it might be said of you that he is an alim, he is learned. And you recited the Quran that it may be said of you that he is a beautiful qari." And so it was said. Then he will be ordered to be dragged along on his face until he is cast into the hellfire. Another man, the third of them, will be a man who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given a lot of wealth, had made rich, and to him and to whom he had given all kinds of wealth. He will be brought, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make known to him his favors, and he will recognize them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask, what did you do about them? He will say, "I left no path untrodden in which you like money to be spent without spending it for your sake." He, Jalla Jalaluhu, will say, "You lied. You did this so that it might be said of you, he is generous." And so it was said. Then he will be ordered to be dragged along on his face until he is cast into the hellfire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. As I said, this hadith is in Muslim, in Tirmidhi, and in An-Nasai. Both of these ahadith and Surah Al-Ma'un, Arayt al-Ladhi, show the importance of having the right intention to please, show that having the right intention alone to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is important. To have the right, not alone, to have the right intention is important in all actions, right? To please Allah alone, that is the right intention. Niyyah must be pure. Must be pure. Niyyah must be pure, the ikhlas must be there, and it must be kept pure, for which we need to check our niyyah frequently. Shaitan corrupts the niyyah by distracting us with wealth and fame which may come with our actions. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyah rahmatullahi said that if we check our niyyah from time to time and it is the same at the end of the deed as it was when it began, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inshallah forgive whatever happened in between. If not, we must seek forgiveness. So therefore, seeking forgiveness frequently is an extremely good idea and must be done, because niyyah is critical. Having said that, niyyah alone is not enough. Actions must be done according to the Quran and Sunnah. If an action is done with the best niyyah but is in itself haram, then it will not be acceptable with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and will attract punishment. This is the basis, really, if you look at it, of all shirk and bid'ah, which are done with the best of intentions. Because people are trying to do these things thinking that they are pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is a good intention. But the way they do that is haram. So this is the basis of all shirk and bid'ah, done with the best intentions, but they are haram and punishable. We hear this hadith but in practically every Jummah all over the world. Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu reported Rasulullah would praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his khutbah as he deserves to be praised, and then he would say, "Whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, no one can lead him astray. مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهُ وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ." Whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves to go astray, no one can guide him. And then Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, "Inna asdaq al-hadithi kitab Allah. Inna asdaq al-hadithi kitab Allah. Wa khayrul hadi hadi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." The truest word is the book of Allah. And the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. "Sharrul umuri muhdathatuha. Wa kulla muhdathatin bid'a. Wa kulla bid'atin dalala. Wa kulla dalalatin finnar." The most evil of matters are those newly invented bid'ah. The most evil of matters are those that are newly invented, meaning in the deen. Whole discussion on bid'ah is not part of this khutbah. Inshallah, we will do it some other time. Every newly invented matter, sharul umuri muhdathatuha, kulla muhdathatin bid'ah. Every newly invented matter is an innovation, is a bid'ah. Kullu bid'atin dalala. Every innovation of bid'ah is misguidance. Kullu dalalatin finnar. And every misguidance is in the hellfire. And this is in An-Nasa'i. Also, we have the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالَ الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنَعًا. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shall we inform you of those who will lose the most deeds? They are those whose efforts are in vain in this worldly life while they think they are doing good. So they are doing these efforts with good intention, but the efforts are completely wasted. As they say, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. As I said before, Islam is a religion based on a book. The book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Quran Al-Kareem. And its teaching and explanation and demonstration. The Sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the tafsir of the Quran. That is the reason it is so critically important to learn Islam systematically, not through WhatsApp forwards and YouTube shorts. We must take our religion seriously because it's not simply a life and death issue, but a Jannah or Jahannam issue. To learn Islam, to practice it in our lives, and to teach it to others is the purpose of our creation. That is why we are here. About the fulfillment of that, we will be questioned. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on us all. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin.